Get exclusive content you just can't wait to hear. Hit us with your feedback. We want to know how you feel. So download Bashani Radio. Get it free from the App Store. Download Bashani Radio. See our features and much more. Download the Bashani Radio app for free now.
He has done some phenomenal things. He has done what most people could not do, wouldn't be able to do. Ladies and gentlemen, this gentleman had worked two jobs in manufacturing at the same time for almost 10 years. And so guess what? We're going to get to the bottom of this. We're going to find out, because he is a man of faith. And so we're going to get an idea of how this journey plays out and how you can take these ideas, take these tips, take these nuggets, and empower yourself to the next level. So I want to introduce to everyone, Mr. Les Whitfield.
All right, thank you. What'd you say? You're Mike, right?
Yes.
Mike. Thank you, Mike. Yeah, it's been quite a journey, and what a blessing it is to just be here with you this morning. And I'd like to, again, encourage you to. I think you're doing some fantastic things for yourself as well. So where would you like to start? Where would you want me?
Well, Mr. Les, let's talk about the beginning, because when it comes to success, everyone always sees the end results. They see the money, the cars, the status. But it's the beginning. It's what happens when no one is looking. It's the things that you do, people do on a repetitious, routine basis that puts them in a situation to be who they are and do what they do. And so for you, you were a machine repairman for many, many years. And so if you can share how you started your journey on becoming a journeyman in machine repair.
Well, this journey of mine, it actually really started at when I got out of the military. I knew I wanted to, I looked at the job market, and I looked at the jobs and which one would pay the kind of wage that I think I have to be comfortable with. And for me, it was the auto business. It was Ford, General Motors, and Chrysler. My goal was to, General Motors was the biggest of the three, of the big three. My goal was to try to get to General Motors. But in the course of that, like I say, I just got out of the service, and I met a young lady, which I married, which was my wife, Cherie. We met, and we had different backgrounds. And quite naturally, when you meet somebody, you'll be going to bring your baggage, and she's going to have her baggage.
Right.
And I decided, I asked her, because before I met her, I met another young lady, you know, and I wanted a lot of children. So I wanted 8, to be exactly. And this first young lady I met, I kind of related to her. When she asked me how many kids I would like to have, and I said, I would love to have about 8. And she said, you better have them, because I ain't having 8 babies for nobody. So that is, I know she wasn't the one. So I said, the next young lady I meet, I'm not going to tell them how many children I want to have, because that seemed to make them panic. So when I met my wife, Cherie, I said, well, I asked her, how many kids would you like to have? She said, about 8. I said, oh, my kind of woman. But then she could ask me the next question. And she said, what's the next question? You should be asking me, can I afford to take care of you and the 8 babies and a lifestyle that you think you deserve? She said, well, can you? Most definitely. And that's how I really got on the road to getting involved in the auto industry, because I needed a job. You know, once you look at the system for what it is, too.
Yes.
There is 3 positions you can play for us. You could either be a blue-collar worker, a white-collar worker, a minister, or a politician, you know. I said, okay, now which category do you want to fall in? So, but in these fields, there's a level of blue-collar workers. What a lot of people don't realize, as a blue-collar worker, there's a minimum amount of money that you can make per hour.
Right.
And there's a maximum amount of money you can make an hour. Most people don't realize, they know what the minimum is. The minimum is minimum wage. That's the minimum.
Right.
The question I propose to a lot of people is, as a blue-collar worker, who makes the maximum amount of money as a blue-collar worker? And that would be a skilled tradesman.
And so when you, so in deciding to go a skilled trades, like you say, you saw the financial opportunity to definitely keep your word to your wife on taking care of her and having 8 kids. And so what made you decide to go with machine repair?
Well, you have to go with what you love to do. In high school, I majored in auto mechanics. I loved working with my hands. I had the ability to fix things. And this is what kind of drove me into the machine repair. Because you have to love, and I did it, and it seemed to, I didn't mind getting my hands dirty.
Right.
You know, because at the end of the day, you can wash them off and lotion them down. But it's just something I had a passion for. Is for fixing things. And so I decided there's different ways you go. There's a tool maker, there's electricians, there's plumbers, there's millwrights, there's die makers. But for me, I said, as long as there are going to be machines around, they're always going to need somebody to fix them.
That's right.
I'm going to be the man to fix them when you have a problem. I don't have in fixing these machines, there's certain requirements you have to make to be in the trades. And when I wind up at Chrysler, the first time I was at Chrysler, that was back in 68. And what I noticed, because I was working on the line at the time, but I was telling Mike here earlier that I came up for a funeral, and the guy was saying, and I was going to stay up here a week because my wife had an uncle pass, but that we were going to stay here for a week. And they said, they hired at Chrysler. And true enough, I went over there with him, and I always carry with my resume with me, and they hired me and right on the spot. But, you know, and that started my journey into, but I when I hired it, I was working in line.
Right.
And I saw these people standing around sipping on Coke, and drinking coffee. And I said, what do they do? And they said, those are skilled tradesmen. I said, and what do they do? Because what I saw them do was mostly sipping on Coke and drinking coffee. So I said, I can do that job.
Right.
I said, no, you have to go to school for that. And it did. You have to go to college for it. You had to go to Henry Ford or Macomb College. This is what the auto companies will send you. And you had to get into the apprenticeship program. And you have to be tested for that. And it's a process you have to go through to get into the trades. So I decided that was a job I would love to do because it's more to it than just sipping on coffee and Coke, but you really have to go. It's a 4-year apprenticeship program that you have to really take off. So I took the test for Ford, for Chrysler first. Then I got hired into Chrysler, and after I took that test, a few weeks after I got hired in, someone was saying, you know, General Motors will be testing too. So I went on and took a test for General Motors. And on down the road, somebody said again, you know, Ford will be testing too. So I went on down and I took the test for Ford. But in the meanwhile, my years had went by, and my family, I had brought up from Louisville, Kentucky to Michigan, and my wife was pregnant again, and like I was telling Mike, my insurance was, Chrysler liked to lay you off a lot and call you back, and my insurance was kind of running out. So I would have to, had to get back into the workforce.
Right.
So they would call me back and send me back out. But, you know, they called me back and they had a job for me. And this job, like I was telling Mike, this job would kill a horse. This a rough job was hanging doors on every car that comes down there. And I watched the guy across the line from me, and he was soaking wet in sweat from his head to his toes. And I'm saying, my goodness, that job would kill a horse. I'll never do that job. So they put up with me for about 3 weeks, and finally they decided that I wasn't going to do the job. They decided, so they said, what we're going to do, what we're going to do is just fire you. Well, you can't really fire me for that. I'm making an attempt. As long as you make an attempt.
That's it.
And you're right, they can't just fire you. So you make the attempt, and they decided that they were going to cause a fire, man. So I had to file agreements. By that time, I said, well, I'm going to call my wife at home and tell her I'm coming home. And
right.
So when I called her, she said, I'm glad you called. The guy from General Motors named Ray Malcolm, he wants you to call him as soon as you get here. So I told her, I'm going to go by and file this grievance, and I'm going to come on home, and which I did. So when I got home, so I called Ray Malcolm, and he said, yeah, we got an opening for you. I said, what? I said, machine repair in the skilled trades. He says, of course, we'll give you two weeks or 3 weeks, whatever you need to notify your employee that you're leaving. So when would you like to start? And I said, how about tomorrow?
I said, how about tomorrow?
And that led up to 23 years with them. And after 23 years, Chevrolet Gear and Axles went through a name changing. They went from Chevrolet Gear and Axles, they went to Saginaw Gear and Axles, then they went to American Axle. And I said, give me my resume again. You know.
And so Les, the remarkable part is, everyone wants you to know, he was working 8 full hours at General Motors. And he took the transition, went over to Chrysler,
yeah,
and put in 8 hours a day over there. So we're talking about 16 hours a day.
Yeah, and that was quite a test, because what happened there was I put my resume together and I went to Chrysler with it, you know, and I knew I was going to get hired in, because I talked to the HR lady and we talked for 2.5 hours. It didn't have anything to do with the job per se. It was more of our faith and about our religious beliefs. But anyway, I knew I was going to get this job. So I got the job, and after I worked the job for about from 1 to 2 weeks, I think in my second week, I mean, I throwed up both hands. I said, man, this is too much. I don't know why I did this, because this job will kill it. You know, it's just too much. It's only so many hours in the day. That's only, and I did the math, and I had to drive. I moved out 50 miles from the plant. I had to drive 50 miles in and 50 miles back, and it was kind of rough. But I threw up both hands in the air and said, and for me, from a faith standpoint, that's like surrendering. And I get these revelations. The revelation came to me, and the Spirit said something to me. What are you trying to do? I said, I'm trying to do the impossible.
The impossible.
Then the Spirit said, but you are a believer, aren't you? I said, yes, I'm a believer. He said, but for a believer, all things are possible if you can believe. And he said, all you have to do is 3 things. And right away, I, as a believer, what's the 3 things I need to do? He said, first of all, I'm going to focus you. And I said, what's that? He said, I don't want you to look into the left or to the right. Look straight ahead and keep your sights on me. Can you do that? I said, yes, I can do that. I'm a believer. So what's next? He said, well, the next thing I'm going to do for you, I'm going to balance your life. I said, how are you going to do that? Listen to your wife. When she tells you to slow down, she's going to manage your health. She's going to fix your meal. Listen to her and don't give her no hard times.
And you know, Mr. Les, I'm going to take a quick break here. This is VerK Radio, iHeart Radio. Get your business right with Michael Muse. And we're hearing the phenomenal story of Mr. Les Whitfield. And Les, that brings me to an important thing here, because you worked 2 full-time jobs, 16 hours a day. And so working those 16 hours, you just mentioned that your wife, you made sure you listened to her.
Mm-hmm.
And you let her tend to your health. And you made sure that the only food you ate came out of her cooking, putting her love into it. And when she said slow down, you slow down.
Yes.
And so would you say that's, you would say was one of the biggest secrets other than God, your faith?
Yeah. Well, that was one of the second things to do, because she has to, you have to be monitored. And sometimes as men, we get caught up in trying to provide and take care of our families, that we kind of not take care of ourselves. We neglect ourselves, and we don't take care of ourselves in the process of that. So you have to, that's a balance you need in there. And these things, you just can't do alone sometimes, because sometimes these jobs are consuming. You get consumed in what you're doing.
Absolutely.
And you wind up destroying yourself. But the last thing he did was, I got to get focused.
Mm.
And the focusing came through your faith and through the Holy Spirit. And to put a long story short, you know, after that, you know, and I said, I can do that. And when I decided to follow those instructions and do it, it became easy.
Uh-huh.
And to make a long story short, I wound up spending, at the end of 30 years, because I had several more years to go, I really wound up bouncing both of these jobs with General Motors, what they call General Motors American Axle. For 7.5 years, I worked both of the jobs. And things got easy.
Mm. You
know, very easy. And I'm saying, gee, but it's how you take your faith and put it into action.
Exactly.
Faith does make things possible. Love, if you got the love, and especially coming from your wife, it makes it very easy. Through hope, and that does make things work.
And so my next question is this. Here it is, you're working 16 hours a day.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, you put your faith into action. How did it work out with you as far as your children? Like you say, you get these 8 children that you want to have, and at this point, how many, and you end up having 6 altogether, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so how did,
bless.
And so having 6 children, how did you play a part to balance that out?
Yeah. Well, see, a lot of people say, well, you know, you're working all this time, he don't have time for his children or his wife. Well, one of the best things that happened to me, after working for General Motors for a period of time, they had a model change. So we was out for 2 weeks. And we came back after 2 weeks, and I said to the supervisor, boy, that was great. I wish I could get another 2 weeks. He said, you can, because we're not going to pay you for it because you don't have the time. But if you want another 2 weeks, I can give it to you. I said, okay, I'll take it. So he gave me the other 2 weeks, so that means I had a month off. One thing I did every year from that point on, after 5 years of working with General Motors, I always took a solid month off. And when I got enough time to take a solid month, I started taking more time. I started taking 2 months. And I'm saying, the most I ever took off is 3 months, solid. There's a little catch in there. After the first month, you are responsible for your insurance. The insurance at that time ran about $1,000 a month, which is ridiculous. But there's a way you can do this according to the language in your contract.
Right.
You come back. And I call it the hit day. You work 1 day and you go right back out if you're going to go over 2 months. And if you start doing 2 and 3 months. But the best thing, when I look back on my record as far as my working experience, the best thing I ever did was to take a month off. So I taking a solid month off. And I did that for the next 25 years. I always took a month better off. So I spent a lot of time. I spend more time with my family than most people, because the average person, they know when they take vacation, don't take no more than 1 or 2 weeks.
Okay. So that gave you the opportunity to really dig deep with each of your children, see where they are at, and whatever reinforcement that what your wife had already done, you were able to reinforce and definitely impart your wisdom and knowledge also.
Yeah, but I took a shift. I made sure my kids got to school every morning. I don't believe in putting them in daycare because they don't care. They don't care about your kids. They care about your money, but they don't care about your kids. So I worked second shift for a long time because I wanted to be there every morning to make sure my kids go to school. I spent more time, we took, and those months off, we'd be out on the road. And the suggestion programs, you use the programs they have, like suggestion. I love to be compensated for my ideals and the suggestion. Long story short, the biggest suggestion award that I ever received, you could go, at that time, General Motors would pay as much as $50,000 for a suggestion. The most I ever made off a suggestion was $14,000. But I kept a lot of them in for $3,000, $5,000, and this compensated me.
Exactly.
And this is where I didn't use my money that I actually worked for to take these vacations. I used it for my ideals that I passed in. They would compensate you with monetary funds for your ideals. So I kept two or three suggestions every year, and that money I would use to I call it our fun money, and we would take trips.
Okay, that was trip money right there.
Yeah, we hit the roads.
You know, Mr. Legend, you hit on something that goes back to what plagues a lot of working people. There are so many people who are working, and they're working from paycheck to paycheck.
Yeah.
And so when it came from you becoming financially literate and having an understanding of money, who inspired you, who taught you?
Well, my dad did. My dad was, he was the oldest of 21, and he wasn't educated. So between the ages of 8 to 10, I ran the family budget. I have an older brother who was running it at the time, but my dad figured that he was kind of cheating him, so he fired him and hired me. So he took me to the store and introduced me to the store manager and said he'll be coming here every week cashing my check, and he has my permission. And the store manager looked at me and said, "That little guy, you sure?" Because I was about 10 years old. So "You sure you want to do that?" He said, "He'll be all right." And that's how I became familiar with how to manage money, how to run a budget, and what it is to run a budget. And you know, and it's a beautiful thing, because my dad used to tell me, because he came out of Mississippi, the trick is I often give this to a lot of young people. I would say, if I give you a dollar, see what kind of money manager, how you manage. You can tell a lot about a person for that matter, how they manage their money,
yes,
their time, mm-hmm. and their life. That tells me a lot about the person. Of course, you got to have some faith too. That plays a key part in all this management. But I can tell a lot about a person, how he manages his life, his money, and his time.
It's life, money, and time. That's what
it has to be managed.
Yes,
and it should be important to everybody, along with your faith. And how you do that will determine the outcomes you're going to get. But I was telling the young man, if I give you a dollar and I tell you, I'm seeing how you manage, in 1 year, can you take that dollar, if I give you 12 months, can you turn that dollar into $2? And people would say, some say, yeah. Then I would ask the next question, how would you do it? Because, you know, the banks ain't paying that much interest.
You're right about that.
I think 2 or 3% credit. How would you do it? You have to have a plan on how to do it. And then if someone they turn around and say, well, did you do that? Because, yeah. Oh, so some people will say, well, at the end of the year, I'll just give you back $2. I say, well, did you realize what you just did if you give me back $2? I said, I just made 100% of my money. You mean to tell me the difference is between the dollar, I can add all kinds of zeros. I can take that same dollar, and if 2 years, if a year comes by, you give me back $2, that's 100% return.
That's right.
What about if I do it with $100? What about with $1,000? What about with $10,000? What about with $100,000? Oh, I can't do it. Now you see, all I'm adding is zeros behind that
that's
one.
That's it.
That's when you learn how to take $1 and turn it into two, you're on your road to money management. Because you have look, you're talking 100% return. So I went to a seminar. I was sitting there, and they had a financial, I go to a lot of financial seminars as I was growing up. So I was sitting there, and this guy was sitting there. He was talking about 15% return, 15 to 20% return on your dollar. And I wasn't that interested in it. So we had a little break, so he came over to me and said, you know, I was talking 15, 20% return on my money. You didn't seem like you were too interested in it. I said, no, I'm not. He said, well, why not? I said, because I believe in when I lay down $1 to pick up two.
Lay down one, pick up two.
Yeah. I said, can you? He said, you did that? I said, yeah. I said, how did you do it? Okay, here we go. Here's how I did it. I believe in the auto companies because I've been working for all three of them. So I bought Ford stock. I bought Ford stock at $20 a share. I sold Ford stock at $80 a share. 5 years later, I sold it for $80 a share. What was the return on my money? That my return is 300% profit. I bought it for 20. I sold it for 80. I just showed you how to take $1 and make $3. That's 300% return on my money. And he said, he looked at me and said, you did that? I did that. And he told me, he said, I need to be teaching the class. So that was, oh yeah, well, it's good. I was heavily into the stock market. The trick is, like I said, you buy low, you sell high. But I studied that for about a year before I went into it under a cousin of mine, who was another financial whiz. He was in there in D.C. I kind of got up under his program and learned. I'm very conservative, you know. You know, they want to know how, what kind of investment you are. You know, are you conservative? Are you aggressive? Or whatever. You know, it's just how you see how you manage your money.
Absolutely.
You know, money has to be managed. And the sooner you learn how to manage your money, the sooner you can do some things you like to do. One of the things I teach my children is, I don't believe in car notes.
That's right.
I don't believe in a car note. Here's my thing. Somebody said, well, what do you mean? I don't believe in car notes. All my life, I had only one car note in my life, and it lasted for 6 months. So with my mechanical ability, I get a car that, it may not be the newest car. It don't have to be, as long as it's sound and it runs good, and it's an economy car. My wife taught me this trick too. She buy an economy car. Ford and Escorts and Falcons, I don't have those. Easy on gas, save your money. Save your money. But the trick was to teach this to my children.
Right. How did that work out?
It worked out pretty good because I helped them get their first car. But if you do this right, and if you do it for a number of years, it'll put you in the position to get any kind of car you want. But you must, first of all, learn because most young people, when they start out, they start out with a car note and a house note. You don't need both. The house note, yes. The car note, you don't need. I'm working, so I didn't need a luxury car to go to work. All I need is some transportation, reliable, is what you need.
You figure your car is going to be sitting in that parking lot for you, 16 hours. 16, hey, your car got two different views for 16 hours that you weren't able to enjoy.
Yeah, well, a car can only do one thing. It takes from point A to point B.
That's so, right.
I mean, well, it's new or whatever. I know people had very nice cars sitting out there, and at the end of the shift, they go out there and their car is gone. They've been and took it. So I said, but I had something, and I drove it for years. Nobody wanted to take what I had. Matter of fact, nobody probably didn't even want it. But what it does is, that's a savings. That's your hidden savings. I showed another friend of mine. He, of course, that $600 or $500, that car note he was saving, if you was to save that and down the road, it'll put you in such a position to get anything you want.
That's right.
You know? I had another friend of mine, too. She had a nice car, and she had a Benz. And I said, wow. I was telling you, boy, you have a nice car. She said, no, I prayed for this car. I said, yeah. She said, but I didn't pray. What I found out, too, about people, too, and what I found out even about myself, what we pray is incomplete prayers.
Mm.
We ask, you know, Lord, I'd like for you to bless me with a car. Okay. Lord, I want you to bless me with a job. Okay. You get the car, you get the job. But how about this? It's incomplete because I'm saying, Lord, I want you to bless me with the car without the car note. And I'm saying, do that work?
Yes, it does. And you know, Mr. Les, when you were sharing with me, we first had this conversation about vehicles. This was probably back in 1998, 99. At the time that you had this conversation, I had a Ford Expedition and a Honda Accord.
Okay.
Both of my car notes, I was paying $700 for the Expedition.
Whoa.
And then I was paying another $300 for the Honda Accord.
Mm.
So that's $1,000. $1,000 a month in house note. I mean, in car notes.
Yes.
On top of the $1,000 in car insurance.
Whoa.
being under 30 years old.
Okay.
And when me and you had the conversation, you know what? I got rid of all those car notes.
Hmm.
And I vowed never to have a car note again. So I've only had one car note since. And I was only, at this point in time, I had suffered a heart attack, seizure, and kidney failure.
Mm.
And, of course, my life had been turned upside down with divorce. And I needed a way to get back from my appointments. And I had hit rock bottom on all fronts, and I didn't have any other options at that time. So that was the last car note that I got. And so everything after that point in time, I either pay cash for it or I just don't drive at all. Because I understood that it's easy to look good, but how is my future going to look from it? And like you said, if I can't make my money grow, and I saw that being a hidden factor, and see, that's the good part. Once I made that move, what ended up happening, my mother-in-law passed away in the house. And so when my mother passed away inside the house, my wife at the time had a hard time dealing with living in that house. But since I had eliminated those car notes, now I had an extra $1,000 to go ahead and get us out of that house as quick as possible. Where if I hadn't done that, I would have been stuck. And so I want to thank you so much. It was your advice. It was listening to your insight. Because it was so easy when you're working in a manufactured environment. It's so easy to get caught up in doing what everybody else do.
Right.
And so I just want to thank you so much for that. But we're getting close to the end of the show here. If you want to just share a couple quick thoughts to someone who's young, to a young woman, a young man, on how to be prepared in this changing world that we live in, what would you share with them?
Well, one of the things that you was talking about, homes, how to buy a house. I'm trying to get to this quickly. Which is the best way to buy a house? VA, FHA, conventional, how to finance your property, how to buy the house. Well, one of the best ways is to buy a house is conventional. Conventional calls for 20% down. The trick is here, you want to get in what I call the biweekly program. A biweekly program is instead of making 12 payments that you can do a month on your house, it's $1,000. It's the same $1,000, but now what you're going to do, you're going to make 24 payments. You set this program up to banks and the institutions. They know how to set it up for you. They monitor you. You just have to have enough funds in the account so when they pull it, when they pull the money out, the money has to be there. And they still pull out the same $1,000 a month, but they're doing it every 2 weeks now. So you're going 12 payments now. You're going 24 payments. What that does is count the interest rates. You can have them to do a complete computer analysis run out to show you how much interest you would save over a period of that loan if you get it for 30 years. And versus the normal way with the 12 payments a year versus 24 payments a year. I mean, for a month. It was 12 payments a year versus the 24, and you can see the difference. So I was telling anybody, any young person that's wanting to get started in the financial, look into the biweekly program, let them do a computer run out for you, see how much, what the savings is gonna be, and you will be surprised on how much interest you're gonna see. You always wanna look at your interest rates. You wanna get the interest rates down as low as you possibly can as well. And of course, it has to do with the area where you pick the house, where you wanna live, and so on. It's a lot of little factors in there, but in the long run, you'll be so glad you did. And like I said, buy cars, but you know, buy cars. If you buy transportation, just get you, if you're working, you don't have too much time for that anyway. But you decent car, a decent transportation, but if you use some of these little hints and suggestions, and I can go further in detail, say at a later date, but it will move you further ahead in life. And you'll be able to do a lot of things that you thought you couldn't do.
Well, Mr. Lester Woodfield, I want to appreciate you for coming on. You have shared some great nuggets, some great advice, and just hearing how you position your family for success. Just hearing how you making sure that faith was the cornerstone of you moving forward. And just hearing how you position your time with your family, because we hear people say how they're so busy, but you have shown how you can make the time and you can do the things to make sure the main thing is the main thing. So I want to thank you for coming on definitely for many years of sharing advice with me and insight. And thank you so much for sharing with my audience. So thank you. Definitely got to have you come back again.
I'd love to.
And ladies and gentlemen, we are here on VertK Radio, iHeartRadio, The Power of Woman. This is Get Your Business Right with Michael Muse. I'm Mr. Broadcastpreneur, a.k.a. the Fearless Coach, the author of Rise and Burn, author from Pain to Power. But you know what? Overcoming your fears is not an option, and the world is waiting on your story.
Completely redesigned Bashani Radio app is hotter than ever.
Ever.
Now you can binge listen your favorite podcast show. And for those listeners that like to talk trash, excuse me, I mean give feedback. Just tap our new feedback button and run your mouth for 60 seconds. Download free for iPhone and Android in the App Store or listen online at BashaniRadio.com.